Okay, what was this now? Well, it's almost like cosmology. The point is here, let's start with cosmology and see where it ends up. You know, when you start with a cosmos, a world, an existence that is resting upon and in God, supreme being, omnipotent and omniscient and so on, then you can just accept what is actually a fact that it's all inconceivable to us. The strategy and the endeavor that materialistic science puts into trying to gather knowledge is very much about, you know, we want to understand how everything works, as if we could. Because one thing I think that is quite clear is that the more science is looking into the details and far out into the big and far into the small of this world, the more mysterious, inconceivable and magical it becomes. Whether they dare to admit that or not. And science that just tries to get away with giving people the impression that they're almost there, you know, we almost understand how everything works. They're cheating. I mean, maybe even cheating themselves, because the fact is that this world, I mean, including our own bodies and our minds and brains and this planet and nature and all of those who live here and the workings of it all, the rotation of it and the solar system and the galaxies and the whole thing, it's just, you know, what to speak of where it all came from and how, and step by step, logically, scientifically describe. I mean, it's just, we don't know. That's all we need to admit. Even the big PhD professor, scientist, Nobel Prize winners, and whatever you are, it's not dangerous to just say we don't know, rather than trying to pretend, then you just become like some hypocrite priest. The same kind of people that you probably despised when you were young. So anyway, with this cosmology that we're talking about here, we don't need to apply that kind of approach to gathering knowledge, you know, to figure out reductionistically or whatever how everything is pieced together down there in the very bottom of it and out there in the edge of it, measuring and building better telescopes and, you know, first of all, by being smart enough to realize that we won't be able to see the edge of it in neither direction in that way. And no matter how hard we think, we're just little microbes on this planet even. size wise. So, I mean, who do we think we are? Now, the approach to knowledge that we find in the Bhagavatam, for instance, and in this tradition of the Vedic knowledge, and I would say in most older cultures, is not to just gather knowledge by sucking it out of this nature or whatever, but taking it apart and all that. But rather, how to say, gather knowledge that makes life here better. Our own life, each other's lives, happier, healthier, more enjoyable, working out, nature, harmony, all of that. And this includes and is actually mainly about our personal relationships to each other, we who live, including and of course with the focus on and the roots in our relationship to the divine, to God, Goddess, you know. And that's why this is how you find cosmology given there in the Bhagavatam. It's not so that we should shy away from that personalist, God-centered, soul-centered, life-centered approach to cosmology, to how we describe this universe, this cosmos, this world we find ourselves in, as if it was more primitive than learning how the physical world works so that we can manipulate it and create technology and so on. Of course, again, with the intention of improving life and enjoying life better. So in the ultimate sense, we have two ways of two approaches to knowledge with the same goal in both cases, but I would argue, and that's what we do here, the materialistic approach being incomplete, superficial, and basically ignoring us, the way we are at depth, as conscious living souls. So, well, this is what it comes down to.